council meeting for Tuesday, August 8th, 2017 is now called to order. I'd like to welcome everyone here today. I do not have any changes to the agenda. Are there any other changes to the agenda today? A motion to accept the agenda circulated would be in order. Moved by Councilor Kelly, seconded by Councilor Muse. Any discussion? Ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. Presentations this morning. We are pleased to have Troy Myers and Eric Potty here this morning. South Shore Public Libraries. The floor is all yours.
Thank you, Your Worship.
Good morning, everybody, and I appreciate it's a long weekend. I'm really pleased because this is the one day of rain this summer, and we're stuck indoors, so we're not missing anything. So that's good timing. I'm the chief librarian of South Shore Public Libraries, and Eric Potty's the branch manager, and also he's also responsible.
Excuse me, if I may.
Yeah.
Point of order, Mr. Costin. It is not an appropriate location to take pictures. If you would like to have a picture from the side gallery, that would be possible. We do not want shots over papers on the counselor's desk, if you would not mind. We would accommodate pictures, but not from that location.
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. We resume the presentation.
Thank you, Your Worship. Eric Potty is responsible for all the services in Queens County, and so he's also here to assist with the presentation. If we have any specific questions about services in Queens, then Eric will answer those. My job here today is to share with you our Vision 2027 document. I was encouraged by a couple of your counselors, Councilor McLeod and Councilor Frelick, to come share this with the council. So I appreciate your giving us some time to do that. Just a little background on our Vision 2027 document. We spent a fair bit of time just looking at, you know, who we are and what we want to do. Public libraries, as you know, have been around for a long time in Nova Scotia. South Shore Public Libraries is the youngest of the bunch. We only go back to, the kind of mid-80s, which is really, kind of young when you think some of them, have a longer history. But I'm here to tell you that we're here for a long time. We really look forward to a bright future with all of our partners, including the region of Queens. So what we decided to do was consult with all of our users. We consulted with staff. We talked to our board. We took all that information and put together a document that was then vetted through various groups and then came back to the board for approval, which happened earlier this year. So it's our job now to just share it with people, and that's what we're here for. So we can just switch to the next slide. We really took a hard look at our values, and again, very consistently kind of show in our research that literacy, innovation, inclusion, intellectual freedom, collaboration, and community are very important to us. They've been important to us for a long time. But in this information age, when people seem to spend a lot more time online and really, there's these forces at work that tend to pull us apart. We realize that your public library is a very positive force in the community that brings people together. And that's why we're proud of our taglines, which is, you'll see throughout the document, real people, real connections, if you want to switch to the next, Eric, thanks. Real experiences. We really take a lot of pride, and we heard from a lot of our people that visit us, just how important it is to come in and feel a place where they can gather, again, without prejudice, with as few barriers as possible. We continue to eliminate, again, barriers to buildings, barriers to access. And people, as you can see from here, this robotics program that we ran, it's just bringing people together to really do tactile things in this information age. And again, our mission's simple. Our libraries celebrate reading, discovering, learning, and sharing. And that's for everybody. We don't target one age. We want to hit everybody in the community, and we like to do that, twice a day, 7 days a week if we can. It's a lofty goal, but our demographic is as wide as it can be. And the vision is again, very clear. We want our libraries to be the vital center of the community, sharing that robust collection and innovative technology that inspires lifelong learning and literacy in a positive, welcoming environment. I'd also add safe to that. We kind of struggled with that word, but for me that's really important. We want, you know, everybody from the age of you know, infancy all the way up to our seniors to really feel that they're in a warm, safe, healthy environment, and I think we strive to provide that, and that's very important to us at South Shore Public Library. So if you can just switch, thanks. We also, you know, do like to get messy from time to time. So this just slide was included in the presentation and in our document to remind people that, you know, we don't always get it right. We make some mistakes along the way, but we, you know, as these kids show, we try to have some fun doing it too. So next slide. And I won't read all this. We gave you a copy, but you know, our strategic priorities are really important to us. We want our goals to be clear. We also want our metrics to be measurable. So you'll find in the document that, you know, we've taken on some big goals. Just a couple, if we go down to welcoming space goals, increase library membership to 45% in this 10-year period. You know, we want to increase more meeting space. We want to make sure that, you know, everybody has a great experience, or at least 80% of them, you know, do, and they want to come back. Because in our experience, the people that do have a great time in any retail environment, and the library is just another retail environment, they come back because they've had a good experience. And it's not always based on the fact that they received what they wanted, but they had that nice personal connection with good staff. And we've invested heavily in bringing good staff to Queens County, and Eric is you know, the latest addition to that. We moved a manager spot that wasn't there, which is now based in Liverpool, but responsible for also Greenfield and all the mobile stops, who, again, I think brings a good gift of customer service. For those of you who have been into Thomas Riddell branch, you may have run into to David Truman, who's just a wonderful person. And you know, since David's been there, I have to say he's the number one generator for positive customer comments that we get, which really warms my heart, because normally, you know, it's just the bad comments you get. But in his time there, you know, we've had 5 letters written about how great a service he gives. And the latest one, I was at a meeting in the city, and there was the chair of the Annapolis region who was at that meeting, because it was a meeting of chairs and chiefs. And she said, "Troy, I was down in Liverpool for a holiday," and she goes, "I always have to go to the public library." And she said, "Your man David there, she said, he had no idea who I was. I just said I was, you know, someone from Annapolis, and I could have been, you know, the senior citizen who shells books for free on Sundays." And David went out of his way to make my experience good. She said, "I left my travel mug, and when I was driving back through Annapolis Valley, I realized I left it at the library. And as I walked in the door, David had it cleaned and standing there waiting for her." So she's written a letter, which we'll be able to share with the board in September. So those are the sort of that one-on-one customer connection that's really important to a good service. And that's what brings people back, and that's what people like David personify and people like Eric personify. And it's always been my belief that you need to have people who are consistently there. You can't just bring in a part-timer for 6 hours and expect a great customer service all the time. Not to say that that's not important, but I'm sure we all have had that experience when you go to the grocery store and, you know, you see the poor kid who's only get 6 hours a week, and people expect them to know everything. But if you're only there 6 hours a week, then it's hard to really know just how to make everything happen with an electronic system, let alone build a good relationship with everybody in your community. So we've invested heavily in staff, and that'll continue. Greenfield, we'd love to, you know, find a way to really get some more hours there, because I think the summer that place just blows up, and it's nice to provide that service. And as we're all aware, our mobile just continues to be a hard-working workhorse. And, you know, those buses don't last forever, and this one's upwards of about, 8.5, 10 years old now. I think we've probably got another 5 years. We're going to get the bus painted this year. We've done a significant amount of work, and we're already saving to be able to provide that service when this bus decides to give up the ghost in another 5 years. Because in my experience, and even though a lot of systems across Nova Scotia have given up their mobile service, because of cost, I'm not sure of any other way to do really good rural service to smaller communities. Because as much as it's nice to have a little branch in Greenfield or a great service in Liverpool, there's these tiny little communities that we think of, and we all know them, and many of us have spent time in them, where you've got, you know, a four-year-old who, you know, needs to be exposed to library service. And if you can park a bus at the end of, you know, her road and open up a whole world of experience to her, then that's a wonderful thing. I mean, I was that kid. I grew up in the city of Dartmouth, and that was back when Dartmouth Regional Library, before amalgamation, used to run a mobile service to all the smaller neighborhoods. And I was that kid who, you know, in primary found the bus at the end of the road. And I came from a family with just, you know, one working parent and three brothers, and we didn't have a lot of extra money for books. And when I walked into the mobile, I thought I died and, you know, went to heaven when it came to being able to take home as much as I could. And I'm a lifelong library user and a lifelong library professional because someone parked a mobile bus at the end of our road, which was a wonderful thing. So I think, you know, big towns like Halifax need to remember just how important a mobile service is to that kid who, you know, doesn't have the two parents who are driving around all the time. And again, getting to the rural service, which is what we're all, you know, kind of focused on now, those smaller communities, you know, a mobile service, again, with that great staff that's on board, that builds those relationships and gets to know your reading habits, is so vital to really opening up a whole world of opportunity for young and old alike. So, sorry, I always get on the soapbox when we talk about the mobile. We're committed to building a robust collection. South Shore Public Libraries continues to invest more money per capita on books than just about any other system in this country. You know, there's a few big cities that keep pace. Halifax is close to what we do. But, you know, we're over $300,000 a year on materials in a budget that's, only 1.2 or, you know, $1 million. That's a big chunk of change that goes to collections, which I think is really important, where if you look at the stats that come out of other regional library systems, we're probably spending, in some cases, 6 to 10 times what other people are. And that's another thing that I'm a big believer in. People will come to your retail environment, and again, just think of public libraries as retail environments, because they find good quality materials. There was a time, as I said, when I was that little kid on the mobile in Dartmouth, you know, I was okay to take home the book with the pages torn out. It smelled like cigarettes and might have, you know, had coffee stains all over it. But now, I think our standards are higher, and I think our collection has to be as pristine and as top-notch as it can be, because people will come, but if they're not as tolerant as we used to be about materials, so with the higher standards, they're not going to take the torn page book and the one with the coffee stains that smells like cigarettes. So we tend to get rid of those. So when you come into our branches, and I challenge you to find a dirty book in there, and if you do, I'll, you know, personally make sure you get a clean copy. But we do a really good job of keeping everything in great shape there, and that because we invest in collections. And that's an important thing. And our circulation stats support that people will come back and borrow other stuff when they can get their hands on the things that they want. That all said, though, we're still setting good goals for ourselves. We want to, you know, increase, you know, all that circulation. We also want to increase our volunteer base, even though we've got a lot of great people coming in. I also would like to underscore the partnerships and the meeting space bookings. And, you know, I had a conversation with Councillor Fancy, and we talked about how a modern public library really provides that meeting space. So a community will change its needs all the time, and I'm sure you guys get that. So we want, you know, the modern public library to provide public space that people can come and meet without prejudice, without barriers, and really just, you know, on a Monday, it's a bunch of seniors who just want to get out of the rain, and they don't want to go down to Tim Hortons. They want to come in, they want to learn about, you know, how to do email with their grandkids that are away at Memorial University or wherever. And then you know, the next day the needs change again and it's a bunch of, you know, young parents with kids in strollers. And we'll have space for those strollers to park. And that's what I mean by we want good public space that just adapts to those changing needs. And those needs change daily. And that's what we need to be sensitive to. So as we build new public spaces, we always want to keep that in mind. We want shelving that you can just pick up and move out of the way if you've got those extra 10 strollers, or if you've got, you know, people who are in mobility assisted, locomotion, that kind of thing. And we also want to be able to hold a big public event. If a good author comes into town, we're in this situation in Lunenburg. We had a call from an author who's just vacationing there and just loved the space. So wanted to do a quick reading. So we pulled something quickly together, and you need to be able to just move, all that stuff away so you can accommodate a group of 30 or 40 people for someone who might be a draw like that. So we can switch the slide. We touched on most of this, but lifelong learning, that's just sort of a mantra of ours. Our real goal here for 2027, and this is meant to be a long-term consistent vision, which we review every year. You know, we're going to look at these metrics every January and decide if we're on track, but we want that program attendance to go up 3%. We want the nonfiction circulation to go up. So we're making them very specific. So you, as one of our partners who fund us, and we appreciate every dollar you do give us, because, you know, the 71,000 and change or whatever is a significant contribution, and we appreciate it. That helps us get there, but we want you to hold us accountable, and that's why we're putting these numbers in here, so that you can come back and say, look, Troy, you didn't make that 3%, so what are you going to do about that next year? So that's why this document's meant to be as clear as possible when it comes to the numbers. Can you do the next one? And this is just sort of in conclusion. The board spent a lot of time on this. It looks pretty simple and clear and concise, but that's really what we're trying to be. We didn't want this document to be, anything that confused people. We wanted to just be a very clear statement of who we are and where we're going to go, and we're going to set the path along the way with those benchmarks that, again, you, as one of our, very valued partners, will hold us accountable to. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell. And now I'll just open it up to questions, Your Worship.
Thank you, Roy. Any councillors have questions or comments? Councillor Fancy?
I'll wait to see if everybody else is going to do that. But Troy, I appreciated your presentation. Appreciated talking to you prior to. The one thing that really amazed me when I was talking with you is when I talked about the LCLC, is I thought, well, where they located over there with the rink, there would be nobody coming. And I think you said it's up like two and a half times as many people as it was before because of the partnerships. So sometimes partnerships are a good thing that help make it multi-purpose for people coming, because it's a more modern way of looking at things, of having people come for one thing and stay for another. It's a different way of looking at it. And again, with the seniors, because of the seniors in our area and the growing population of seniors, is a spot to be able to come, again, come for a meeting, gain some other advantages. So when you're looking at things, libraries are changing.
Agreed.
But we get to change along with them. But I really appreciate what you presented this morning.
Thank you.
Councilor Frehley?
Great presentation, Troy. One of the things that, why I encouraged this presentation was to make sure that all our strategic plans are lining up. You obviously have a great strategic plan way into the future. Ours, I don't believe, is that far out. But we also have plans for our community and our downtown, and I'm a big fan of having them in the heart of the town, not particularly on the outlying areas. But when you look at Liverpool and the options for Liverpool, is there anything that part of this strategic plan that would kind of dictate where you would be or where you would like to be, or what the partners that you would like to see involved?
Well, that's a great question, and you know, as much as it's really not my place to tell you where to put your library, in my experience, I've seen a lot of value in putting a public library in a place. And Councillor Fancy's comment about the LCLC, you know, was kind of in the back of the industrial park, and they created a destination. Now, that hasn't been without its detractors, because there's some people who say, well, it's difficult to get to. But again, all that the data suggests that if you do build it, they will come. And a public library is always, and there hasn't been one case when you build one properly, that it's not a catalyst for other development. We're in the process, as most of you are aware, of moving our public library into the Lunenburg Academy. And again, not without its detractors, but you know, when that's done, people will realize that it's going to draw a lot more traffic up there. You know, what I always tell people is public libraries, you know, when we fund them properly, they're open 7 days a week. They service everybody. They become that destination where, you know, use the example of our accountant, Kim Hopkins, who does our audit every year. And she said, Troy, I never got down to King Street. She said, you know, I've got two kids, you know, and one of them's into sports and the other one's just a bookworm. She goes, now it's great because I can go to the hockey rink. She said, I hated hanging out in cold rinks, so I would just kind of drop the kid off. And now we stay for the entire time. So one goes to hockey practice, and she said, you know, she goes down to the library with her other daughter, who just loves being immersed in all the books, and she gets some work done, and it's a great thing. But getting back to your comment about Liverpool, if there was an area of town that needed, you know, some revitalization, and I'll guarantee you that a public library will attract people, because again, now you're funding a consistent service that people are going to come to every day. And it's going to be a draw every day for somebody, you know, just like, you know, McDonald's serves, you know, everybody three times a day, which is their goal. And I joke about that, because sometimes, you know, I'm buying coffee in the morning like I did today. And then, you know, I'm after a soccer practice, I'm buying chicken McNuggets for my youngest guy. So I tend to go there two or three times a day sometimes. And that's what public libraries can do for you, too. And if you put it in a space, it changes the whole fabric. And probably the best example in Canada that was the Vancouver Public Library, which they were great visionaries back in the, I think it was the mid-80s, when they moved into a real rough part of town. And for those of you who've been to Vancouver, you know, that part of town, the library was the original catalyst to bring all the rest of those services down. And, you know, we've already started to see some change in Spring Garden Road in Halifax with the Central Library. And for those of you who've been to town, you see the way the traffic patterns have changed from a pedestrian's point of view. And now all these other little businesses and services want to be part of it. And, you know, and getting back to the comment about the Lifestyle Center, you know, that's just a perfect fit, because, you know, now you can do your mind, your body, and your soul all in the same place. And you, again, you know, when you walk in, you're walking in, you know, again, with as barrier-free access as you can, and again, with no cost. So that's what public libraries can do for you. So in an area of town that you like to refurbish, if that was, you know, if it was up to me. Having said all that, you know, if you give me a trailer down on the by the river, I'll give you a service there too. So we'll make it work.
Councillor Johnson.
Troy and Eric, that's excellent. It just absolutely seals the whole mobile side of it for me, from being up in North Queens with what happens there on Saturday morning. Not because you parked in the liquor store parking lot, but at the end of the day, that's an absolute hub for the people that come here, kids, seniors, the whole nine yards. And I really appreciate the fact that the daycare program out there is here once a week too, and that has been a success as well. A huge service, and anything we can do to help promote that out there, by all means, let us know.
Excellent. That's a good comment. And just so you know, I mean, as I said, we're already in planning of our new bus. And I'd like to be able to do more programming with a new bus. And, you know, technology's come a long way. And we've all seen this with RVs, you know, just with fold-out rooms and stuff. So we'd like to really incorporate that in our next bus.
I have one quick question.
Yep.
Is there any linkage now between the public libraries and what's happening within the school system with some of the cutbacks in libraries?
You mean, like, are we being affected by it, or are we trying to do more with them?
Well, is there more, maybe, a partnership swing, depending on whether the library is closed
Well, as you're aware, it was a challenging year with the labor dispute. So some schools, which we had strong partnerships with, it was difficult to do anything with. And then other schools where we had the right staff in the school system, they sort of found a way to work around that. We continue to work with schools. We always have, we always will. And, you know, we're always open to just bigger and better partnerships. But as I said, this was a particularly challenging year. And I hope it's done, but I'm not so sure, you know, because we look at what happened with some of the, I don't think it happened in Queens County, but, you know, there were some schools that still affected sports after, you know, the labor issue was, you know, put to rest officially. So, I'm just a little leery of what's going to happen in September. But, you know, we'll do our best to work around that because, again, we want to reach out to kids, and schools are a great way to do that.
Deputy Mayor McLeod.
Great presentation as always, and welcome back again, Eric. Good to have you at Randall Library.
Yeah, it's great to be back.
I must say that, Eric, you do an amazing job of promotions for the library. I know you're doing some write-ups in the local papers and on QCCR and on the Facebook and keeping everybody aware of all the services, because libraries are more than just books, and I always say that to people. But I also like the fact that when I go into the library here, have a nice chat with David, but when I look to the left, I always see this little theme table there. And our library gets involved with special events, special themes, and, during that Pride Week, he had a display of books and that sort of thing. And when it was gardening time, there was a big display of books and that sort of thing. So he's focusing on trying to get people coming to the library and using the events and special themes within the community, and then they come to the library and get more information if they want to know about these certain things. So it's a real plus at the library to get that little focus point and giving people reasons to read rather than just, you know, novels and that sort of thing. But I really like that part of our library. Works well.
Well, thanks, Councilor McLeod. I'd love to take credit for that, but I can't. I mean, one of my secrets to being a good chief librarian is just having an eye to hire good people and just getting out of their way and letting them do their job.
Yeah.
So, and obviously you are encouraging him to do that kind of
thing. Yeah, he loves doing that. He plans them out. I do the kids ones, and I'll plan those out like the day before, but he does the adult ones, and he does it a whole lot. He knows the next like four or five he's going to do. He always has it very well planned.
I had the pleasure of going to the Halifax Library, and it is amazing. I mean, like, it's own little mecca, its own little world within itself. And I can just vision on a smaller scale how we could use some of their layout or some of their things that they do there, incorporating music. They have a little program room there, and crafts, and, you know, people coming in and just, and, you know, maybe a little social time with the coffee or tea or something, a little cafe kind of extension. But, you know, those types of things can work in a small environment.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And that's what we talked about earlier about how we need to be flexible community spaces.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, there was a time when you couldn't bring coffee and food into public mm-hmm. libraries, and those days are done, at least
yeah.
as far as South Shore Public Libraries is concerned.
Yeah.
Councilor Fisk? Yes, an excellent presentation. What I have learned in the past is libraries now, you have access to computers.
Yes.
And there's lots of people up there that don't have the money to buy computers, and a great opportunity for them to use the libraries and access. So, and then one more thing, the bus situation, your mobile bus.
Yeah.
Is that a great expense to replace?
It is, particularly if we want to add some new features for the next generation. You know, you're probably looking at a $200 to $250. You know, so I mean, we all know what RVs cost, and so this needs to be a little bit more robust because, you know, it does a lot of work, and we also want to get 15 years out of it. So, but you know, that will be one of my legacies when I move on and, you know, and leave it in different hands. I want a bus that's going to, you know, last another 15 years, and people are going to, you know, I think we already have the wow factor with our staff on the current bus, but I want to bring the wow factor of, you know, all right, this bus actually does that.
That's just a great service.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think, you know, the library systems that gave away their bus or, you know, because they couldn't afford it were short-sighted, you know, because again, in rural Nova Scotia, I really don't understand how you service communities without going to see them. You know, there's all kinds of talk about, we'll just throw the books in the mail, but it's not the same thing, you know. It's not, we don't want to be Amazon, you know, we want to build those relationships with people. And again, I use that example of my own experience, like, you know, when you're just that kid wandering the streets looking for something to do, when there's just a bus with a whole world of information on it, it opens doors, it opens your eyes, it opens your mind. And we want to do that to kids in rural areas.
In my district, it's the Greenfield district, when they built the new school, they included the library. It's just a great asset to the community. We use it very a lot.
Yeah, no, agree. Yeah, it's a lovely little spot. Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
Councilor Kelly?
Hi, thanks for coming. I wanted to ask you about your vision for the Thomas H. Riddell Library in Liverpool. I mean, you see your plan and what you want to do to improve it, but how will your space allow you to do that? Like, what do you see for your space? Is it, do you have everything you need now just in a smaller space that you need bigger? Do you need to add anything or things you'd like to add that you don't have space for now? Like, if you could have your dream library here in town, what would it look like?
Well, and again, this is by no means any criticisms of the current space, but it's getting a little long in the tooth, you know, much like the chief librarian of South Shore Public Library. So I don't take that in a negative way because I didn't mean it that way. But, you know, there's some significant challenges. There's also, in a modern world, I mean, there's some barriers in that building because it's an old building that we'd like to remove just to be a positive public service that reduces barriers. I'd also like to see it in a higher traffic location in town, you know, and you've got a few of those. I'd also like to see it in an area where you want to create that catalyst for development, whether it's in an older part of the town where you want to refurbish, or if it's, you know, out by the Amira Center where you could somehow attach and bring in that whole recreation library kind of feel. There's been a lot of work in North America about, you know, what are some of the best places for public libraries, and they always say, you know, good downtown high traffic area, and then rec centers. You know, if you attach it to a rec center, it's a great investment, it's a great bang for your buck, because again, you're getting, you know, those people that we talked about who, you know, have multiple needs at different times of the day, because, you know, they're building young families, and sometimes they just need a place to sit down and do some work while, you know, someone's in a swim lesson. So that would be, you know, one of the two places. Either go into, you know, a part of Liverpool that's closer to downtown that needs to be refurbished, or to the lifestyles, you know, out towards the Amira Center. That would be my choice if you gave me, you know, an unlimited budget and my druthers.
Are you currently providing all the services here in Liverpool that you provide in Lunenburg and
Yeah, you want to comment on that one?
Yeah, there's certain things that we offer pretty much everything. There are certain programs where they have a higher, like Bridgewater does a lot more programs, but they have more staff, and so there's certain things they're able to do. As for like technology things, pretty much everything, if we don't have it here, we can get it brought here. So right now, the only 3D printers we have that work are in Bridgewater, but we're working on getting it brought here once a week and advertising that in the fall, so that way we have it at least here once a week and people can work on their schedule or if they want to come and see what it's like. So though we don't have everything, almost everything is movable to go here or to Greenfield or to go on the bus and to go all around. But, I mean, Bridgewater, I mean, has the population and has the staffing to sort of do a lot more programs, but that's just the population staff, like I said.
And just one last question about the mobile bus. Does it stop by Mill Village?
Yes.
Okay. Where does it stop in Mill Village?
It stops. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other councillors this morning? Councillor Crowley?
Again, I'd just like to say that moving forward, I think this conversation needs to go on often, and we need to make sure that in 2027 that we have a library that is still relevant, and when you said, you know, about being short-sighted, I think that this is going to be a very important and strategic move, our next move at the library, and it needs to reflect what we're doing as a town and a community. So I think there needs to be lots of conversation, and as a member of the board for the library, I'm excited about that conversation and in this community as well. So thank you for presenting.
Thank you.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I think Brian, Council probably just answered what I was saying.
Okay. Any other council on this issue this morning? Thank you, Troy, and thank you very much, Eric. Great presentation today. You're welcome to stay for the remainder of the meeting this morning. If you have obligations, you may leave at your leisure.
All right, thank you, Your Worship. Now, the last comment I would say, if you know, we do ever decide to build a new library, you know, you will have South Shore Public Library's pledge that it'll be, you know, the people's space. It will make it as flexible as possible. We'll make it as open as possible. I was recently reading some public libraries in Denmark, which have decided to go 24/7. So they give every citizen a key card, and they can come in at their leisure. So they'll still staff the place, but you know, if you want to come in and just, you work in the night shift and you want to just come in, you swipe your card, you come in, you do some work, you need that free Wi-Fi, because maybe you don't have a computer at home, you know, and you're just trying to make that decision between, do I have cable TV and a phone for my family, or do I have internet? So now you can come into the public library. And I think we can explore that. And as much as many of us go, wow, like, I'm not sure we're ready for that, what they found is, you know, when you give people the option and the respect, they tend to respect you back. And, you know, I think, you know, this might be a good community to try something like that. So we'd be open to removing every barrier that you can imagine. So thank you.
Thank you. Move on to agenda item 4.0, tabling of petitions. Are there any petitions to be tabled today? Second call for petitions. Third and final call for petitions. We have no petitions today. 5.0, public question comment session. Are there any members of the public gallery that would like to speak? Please state your name, address, and limit your comments to 5 minutes or less.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, all kinds of comments. Bill Cox, 121 Bog Road, White Point. I'm very pleased to see item 9.0 in regard to the service exchange roads. I think that we probably won't qualify on the Bog Road for this particular program, but the Department of Transportation and Infrastructure Renewal does have upgrading of gravel and secondary roads as a program. And our road could certainly qualify under that particular program. The gravel surface of the road is below the shoulders, so that when we get rain, water lays on the road and eventually seeps down. And also, because of the low classification of our road, we are limited to grading 3 times a year, and sometimes we don't get the third one, we get one normally just before the July 1st weekend, and we get another one probably just before Thanksgiving. This is great when we have visitors, they don't have to see what we live with the rest of the year. However, I'm wondering if there has been any indication from the Department of Transportation or any initiatives from the region for upgrading some of our gravel and secondary roads in the region.
Mr. Cox, the region of Queens has had several conversations with transportation and infrastructure renewal in the last 6 months. We held one about a month and a half ago, and gravel road upgrading and maintenance has been high on that agenda, and a number of roads discussed. There is a program coming down through the province this year with some dollars to upgrade some of our gravel roads that require some tender loving care. So we're expecting that we'll see a number of roads in Queens upgraded and graded, as well as gravel being added.
Thank you.
So being the lone person in the public gallery, I don't think I need to ask for any others. Thank you very much. We'll move on to 6-0, approval of minutes. Under 6.1, regular council meeting, July 25th, 2017 minutes. Are there any errors or omissions in those minutes? Hearing none, a motion for approval of those minutes would be in order. Councilor Fairley, moved by, seconded by Deputy Mayor Susan McLeod. Any discussion?
Question.
Ready for the question on the motion? All those in favor? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. 6.2, public hearing minutes, July 25th, 2017. Any error or omissions in those minutes? Hearing none. A motion to approve the minutes would be in order. Moved by Councilor Mews, seconded by Councilor Kelly. Any discussion? Ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. We have nothing today under 7-0, dangerous or unsightly premises. Under economic development 8.0, we have 8.1. I would ask Joe Crookshank, economic development director, to come forward. Shore Tourism Cooperative Limited for information purposes. Jill, would you like to brief us on that?
Certainly. This was just a follow-up from a press release that the South Shore Tourism Cooperative put out to announce that they have now formed themselves into a cooperative, a limited cooperative, which they previously were the South Shore Tourism Team, a sort of an ad hoc group that filled a gap between when we had our old destination Southwest Nova, and have been doing a great job of filling the void, but now they have created an official organization, which I think is a great move, and it does aid the transparency and the accountability of the group, and enables them to apply for funding, which they might not have been able to do so in their own right before. They're a very engaged group of business people and have a great marketing plan for 2017-2018, which was launched at Queen's Place in March. And they've recently been able to hire a marketing coordinator and have some great digital marketing pieces planned, as well as a lot of other things. We do support them both with financially as a partner. We give them roughly $2,500 this year, it was. And Richard Lane from my team is very actively involved on the group as well, and you know, actively participates and assists with their projects.
Thank you. Any comments or questions of councillors on this item?
What's your association with the REN? Are they part of the REN? Is it a subcommittee? Is it part of that at all?
It's a totally separate organization. The South Shore REN is working on a tourism strategy because that was part of its mandate for tourism. That still hasn't been finalized. So this group created themselves because they couldn't wait. They needed to start marketing the area and the region. And so I've done a great job in that, but I think it still remains to see how the REN's role is, but they're obviously going to work very closely together on that
right.
Tourism piece.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Any other councillors this morning? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
Jill, just give me a little bit of refresh my memory about the background of the provincial tourism. I know the department, but I know they had made changes over the last many years in focusing on tourism. And then the latest I knew that there was a tourism, oh gosh, I can't remember the name of it, not agency or whatever, but what are the levels under the tourism department?
Yeah, they are sort of like a crown corporation. The Tourism Nova Scotia
okay.
is now, you know, what used to be the old Department of Tourism.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they, their focus is on first-time visitors, and they're responding to the Ivany Report suggestion to double tourism revenues, and working well to do that, and have posted good figures towards that. And they also fit in with the Canadian Tourism Agency's focus on cultural explorers and first-time visitors as well. So they're everything sort of working in concert with each other. Mm-hmm. And the South Shore Tourism team don't, or Tourism Cooperative aren't ever going to have their own website. They work off of NovaScotia.com, which is obviously the main portal that people would go to if they're planning to come to Nova Scotia. So they've worked really hard to boost the presence in that South Shore page and get businesses and events to boost their post things there with videos and experiences and make everything as available as possible. That people can buy it really easily just by, a click of a mouse. So
if I went to that site, which I haven't, already say in the last little while,
mm-hmm.
if I went to that site, where would I find the link to the South Shore Cooperative? Do you just go in and check out South Shore, or is it all linked by some kind of common wording or connection of some sort?
Well, you wouldn't actually see the cooperative mentioned because it's a consumer site. It's for people coming to Nova Scotia. So you just go, I think there's a button for regions.
Oh, I see.
And
okay.
So the South Shore region has a home page, and then from there you can plan your activity. And even if you go on under events, in the right-hand side it comes up with all the accommodations that are in that area. It's really intuitive and really, geared to make it easy for people to plan their trip.
Yeah.
So it really is incumbent on everybody to get their information on there and keep it updated.
So where they don't have their own website, would they get into the social media aspect?
Well, yes, they do. They do use social media. They're doing digital marketing campaigns, etc. And
just wondering how they get the word out.
Yeah.
Any other counselor? Thank you, Jill. On 8.1. We'll now move to 8.2, Christmas on the Mersey. Councilor Kelly, would you like to take the lead on this point, please?
It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approves an over expenditure of $2,000 on the Community Economic Diversification Budget line to support the South Queens Chamber of Commerce event, Christmas on the Mersey 2017, for the 2017-18 fiscal year.
Second, Councilor Kelly. Jill, would you like to give us an update on this one?
Certainly. For the past few years, we've sponsored this this event, which has been done primarily by a subgroup of the South Queens Chamber, headed by Mark Reynolds and his team at Farmer Choice, who do give a lot of volunteer hours in putting together a fantastic event just before Christmas to promote the area and the downtown in a great way. For some reason, there was no application coming forward under grants to organisations, which I guess happens really soon after their last event, and it got missed this year. So they did come forward with an ask of us to help support them for this year. They're willing to do it again, and have got people like Lanes in line to support with the hot chocolate, etc. So we're really supportive of their efforts in doing this for the Christmas season, but unfortunately, due to our budget constraints this year, we don't have that money. They do have some money left from last year that they're able to carry over that we gave them from last year. So really, this is just asking council's permission, as we have to. If we want to go overspend on a particular budget line, we have to ask council to approve that. So this is really just looking for that approval.
Any councillors, questions or comments? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I know it's a great event. Always look forward to it. Lots of work by the chamber, by the community from the chamber. I'm wondering, the last several years, it's almost been exactly the same things within the event that have taken place, like the Candlelight Walk and the First Nations involvement. Of course, I organized the gift gallery from a crafter's point of view and other things that are happening. But I wonder really seen anything in the past of them taking a real serious approach. And I know Councilor Kelly did an awesome job trying to get retailers involved during our privateer days. And, you know, that was a good start, and maybe something like that, if we get the manpower and the people to kind of champion it, could happen again. But that would be something I think that they should focus on as well,
mm-hmm. Yes.
to encourage retailers to become involved.
Yes, and like you say, to build on that momentum created through the Privateer Days event, that would be ideal
yeah.
to encourage that for sure.
I guess maybe suggestions to the organization would be the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any other council? Councilor Bailey?
Just a question. Obviously, this is a really great thing. One of our Vibe Talks, when we talked about why people moved here, that was the thing that came up fairly often. It's one of the events that I don't think any other community has it, so absolutely in support of it. I just have a question about the community economic diversification budget. Early on, what is that budget used for? Can you give me a reminder of what that's?
Well, it's used for such things. It's sort of for ad hoc projects that we're involved in, or support of our council strategic priorities from an economic development point of view. So it tends to be sort of the only money that we have in economic development that we have some discretion over, and that it was cut this year, and the Queens County Museum Sport exhibit has taken over half of that budget, but we do the things like the Saltscapes and the South Shore Expo would come out of that pot. When we update our community profile, we pay an amount per year to get the data, the up-to-date data for that. That comes out of that pot. If we were sort of partnering with the North Queens Hub on something, you know, it's just a mixed pot really of funding, but it's certainly overextended this year.
So it's August, and this budget would have been from April. So from August till next April, we have no funding left in that line item.
Well, it's getting spent. Certainly, don't have the 2,000 amount. Now, the actual museum money hasn't, I don't think, gone yet from it. So it still shows as being there. But
and that was.
Now it the money can be found elsewhere in our budget, but because we have to go overspent on this particular line item, we have to ask your permission. So for future, you know, there may be other asks throughout the year as projects require it.
So we just painted the windows on Main Street. Would that have come from this line
yes.
item as well?
Yes.
So basically, anything that happens from now until next April that allows us to be a little bit more creative and it's going to be a challenge for economic development.
Well, like I say, I mean, maybe Jennifer can answer this better than I can, but there is other money within the budget under another line item that will mean that the department doesn't go overspent.
Right.
But we would have to come to council to ask for permission.
But my concern is that line item was something that you used because you have no idea what's coming up between now and
right.
April.
Yeah.
So you always had a place to go when these great opportunities came along,
mm-hmm.
and now we're sitting here in August, and that line item had been cut. So as far as economic development and going off, you know, to do some other great things, it's going to be a challenge for that department.
Yes.
Big challenge.
Yes.
I would ask Jennifer if she would like to comment on this issue.
So, like any other contingency items in our budget, we try and limit it. So we balanced our budget this year with no impact to the tax rate, no increase. And we put some money in there for the what ifs to come up during the year. We can't put no ceiling on that in our budget for stuff that we don't know. Right? So really the big
big thing here is if Ethel is looking to maintain that mandate of keeping the tax rate as it is, we have to understand that even discretionary items should be limited. You can't just because you have a discretionary line item for things that come up during the year that you didn't know at budget time, you still have to kind of put a cap on everything. You can't just use a discretionary line item and then just spend for everything that comes up. You know, you have to make choices. That being said, that line item I specifically intend to transfer from that transition reserve money. There is still some transition money available from, you know, that closure board. So I've actually balanced that line item with a revenue transfer. But again, it's one thing to have discretionary items in your budget for things that were unknown at budget time, and that makes sense. Specifically, you recall every single staff department removed their contingency line items. So there are no other department other than economic development really has a contingency unknown line item, all in part and parcel to maintain that tax rate at budget time. Even if you have discretionary items, you still have to limit that.
I understand that totally, what we're talking about. What I don't understand is that we're so soon in since we passed the budget, and here we are scrambling already. So yes, we kept the tax rate,
mm-hmm.
but then now there's moments where we're going to have a real challenge, and especially when it comes to economic development,
mm-hmm.
which is our priority,
right.
and different events that come along or different circumstances. So it worries me that here we are, and maybe next budget we look at this again and we up that amount because.
And you keep in mind at the beginning of the year that you can't just say yes to everything, because there's going to come a time when there's a limit on the amount that you're spending.
I think we've got that one pretty well looked at. We don't say yes to a lot.
Thank you, Jennifer. Councillor Kelly?
Yeah, well, I think this is a great thing that we're actually, I think we're moving on, taking the $2,000 from economic development from this community diversification budget. Maybe that's something that we look at for the future. When we talk about grants to organizations, this shouldn't be a grant to organization thing. This is an economic driver for our community because it brings people in from all over. And we've heard about the tourists that come here just for that because it is a special kind of event. And I guess one of the things we have to be, or I'm sure Mark's already thinking about where we're going to light the Christmas tree lights this year and how they're going to do that. But I believe that this is something that we need to put a line item, if that's what you want to call it, in the budget. But our budget has to reflect that we automatically every year support the Christmas on the Mersey. Same thing with grants to organizations, that structure's changed, that we automatically support Privateer Days. We automatically support Ukulele Kaylee, LITF, and Hank's Tribute, and the Queen's Penny Fair. Because these are the economic drivers for tourism in our community, and we should actually make sure that we have that money set aside and earmarked every year in our budget for those particular events. So this is a good thing. So maybe we're moving on. This $2,000 coming from this budget, maybe this is the budget that we increase with these other amounts that we automatically give every year, and we take those away from our economic or from our grants to organizations.
Any other councillor? Are you ready for the question on the motion?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. Thank you, Joe. We will now move on to 8.3, the Junior Curling Championships, an update by Steve Burns. Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Just give you a brief recap of World Junior Curling Championships, a little info update. Last Wednesday, August 2nd, at Queen's Place to the world. You know, we had the opportunity as Region of Queens and the Liverpool Championship Host Society to have a great announcement that the World Junior Curling Championships, February 2019, are coming to Liverpool. The event, again, will be 8 days of competition, taking place between the 17th and the 24th on the 5 sheets of ice that'll be created at Queen's Place. And it'll be quite a sight. Certainly everyone who was participating and as a fan during the 2014s saw what a great curling facility Queen's Place can be. Again, features 20 teams, 10 male and 10 female, from countries across the world, which is really exciting. It's a great opportunity for the region of Queens to have folks from around the world coming to our community. So we're certainly going to look to engage the world, give business in the community opportunity to leverage their opportunities, and have folks become part of volunteer packages that will be offered for folks to volunteer for the event, so everyone will be engaged. We have a lot of work to do. We have to build a top-of-line hosting program, of course, and with that, it's going to take a wide range of hospitality and entertainment for the families and folks that come to the community. The project approximate cost about $500,000, which Region of Queens has contributed $50,000 towards, and that is a great investment. Also the province at $100,000, another strong support for the event. So that's a significant start, and we have a lot of fundraising left to do to see the amounts raised to host a great event. So one of the next steps that we'll be taking is redefining the sponsorship packages so the fundraising can be completed. And it's a goal certainly by the end of fall to have all the funding in place to continue with the project. So there's lots of work to do. A number of sort of key facts that came out of the announcement on Wednesday, which I thought were sort of unique. Of course, it's a worldwide event. Shirley Osborne, if you remember her at the podium, she was representing curling Canada, and she described, what a coup it was for the event to come to Liverpool, seeing that predominantly over the last decade or so, it's been a European event. So, I think that's a really important, was a really important statement that she made for everyone to hear. And so a great coup for Liverpool. Again, it will be, 2019 will represent 10 years since it had been in Canada. And the reason it was in Vancouver in 2009 was it was a pre-Olympic year. We had great support locally to nationally from sport, Canadian sport organizations, curling publications, paper, radio, media, social media sites, posts and shares, and enthusiasm across the world. So it's been really, really something to see out of the gate. The Queen's Place view on the Facebook Live was 10,000 views alone, and the World Curling Federation sites heated right up, so that was great. And Curling Canada and the World Curling Federation actually made a point of congratulating the host committee on the success of the launch and of the press conference for the event. The exposure already for Queens and Nova Scotia and the province is very, very positive, and it will only build as time goes on. The monetary impacts from the event are expected to be in the $1 million range for Queens alone. I think that's important to point out. So goods and service spending of near $1 million. So it's a wonderful opportunity, and again, a wonderful opportunity for the local business community to get involved in too. We've already had a number of inquiries from a local nature to get involved in sponsorship. So that's very encouraging. We have to work very closely with the World Curling Federation as they will approve all marketing, social media, etc., any means of promotion. And we expect soon that a website will be up and running, and that the Region of Queens and the province, who are initial investors, will start getting some bang for their buck off of that. going forward into this fall and into the spring of next year. The key announcements will be made at strategic times, and the goal will be to do those through use all media, and particularly the Facebook Live events, which seems to be very, very popular and reaches around the world. You know, I think that this event, it takes a champion and a love for and a passion for a sport or an activity that can really, spur people to be champions in their community, to bring things to their communities. And so this event sort of, lines up perfectly with that. You know, Greg Thorburn was the linchpin behind it, had the connections and the passion to want to attempt to bring this to the community. And so I think that, the linkage and the collaboration again between the region and the host society, and with the help of the province and others that will come on board, I think is certainly unique. And it will support tourism and economy and population. And it just has so many possibilities for our community. So, right now you find information on the event under www.worldcurling.org. And certainly by using the event hashtags WJCC2019 and hashtag curling. And as things move forward in progress, we'll come back and update you a little more. Lots of work to do.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you for your assistance to the host committee to
Thank
make
you.
This a successful
Thank you.
Event. Who would like to speak first from council? Councilor Kelly?
Yes, thanks, Steve. And a couple of things. So the event is the 17th to the 24th, but what's the closure for Queen's Place?
The closure will be approximately 10th, 11th to 26th, 27th.
Okay, and I guess the first thing, it's a great event and everybody understands that, but I've already been talking to people who, obviously, when we had the 2014 juniors as well, the displacement of the current the hockey program at Queen's Place. So have conversations taken place with the president of the Minor Hockey Association yet, or are they in the works? And who does that? Will you do that, or will the
All those conversations will take place, between the facility and those organizations. Those organizations will look to, and already are looking to acquire ice elsewhere for their particular needs.
Right. So, so that would be what the president of the Queens County Minor Hockey Association is already doing. So those conversations have taken place. So they're already looking for ice time and filling those gaps for 2018.
Well, I understand organizations have been talking with Queens Place.
Okay. Yeah. That's great. And for this one, for the Worlds, there's less teams, and they won't be playing games at the curling rink, will they?
Mm-hmm. No.
But what will the curling rink be used for during this?
I would anticipate that they will be certainly a social center.
Right.
So certainly a great opportunity for the club to expose what they have and earn income from that.
Sure,
yeah.
But I would assume that for a world though, that what are the attendance figures expected to be?
Well, we would hope they will exceed what the 2014 attendance figures were.
That's what I thought. But
yeah.
Do you have the figures from the past? From the past
events? We do have all that information, yeah.
Do you know off the top of your head what are we expecting for attendance?
I'm not at liberty to sit and predict that today.
Okay,
that's sort of the host society information, I guess, so to speak. Yeah.
You don't have anything, you don't know off the top of your head figures from the past events, what their attendance figures were?
From the 2014s? I have no comment on those.
From the other world ones. What your
expectation
would be for this one based on other world events?
No, I don't. The goal will be to fill the building.
Oh, absolutely, as it is always.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Councilor Braley?
A great job, obviously, and it's a real coup for us to get this curling event. I'm just, you said that the financial impact would be $1 million. Is that based on something? Because, you know, we've had on the House at Music Awards and
mm-hmm.
whatever, that those were $1 million weekends. Yours is
mm-hmm.
such a long stretch in using so many of the rooms and
mm-hmm.
you know, food and establishments. It seems like it would be more than that. Is that based on just, we all say $1 million weekend? Is there actual figures behind that?
Yeah, those are run through economic models.
Okay.
So they're based on goods and service spends, and
okay.
taxation.
Seems low.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's all I need from you.
Okay.
Councilor Chris, well, this is a great, great event. And I'm going to be first to say that I would like to be a timer.
You're going to keep time, are you?
Anyway, it's a great adventure for Queens to have this opportunity. Great things at the public one, and I'm sure Steve will do a great job keeping it organized.
Thank you.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
It's wonderful to have Queens and the South Shore and the window of the world during that time. It's amazing. I'm so excited. We know that I was on part, and most of us were part of the team in 2014. We all had our tasks and jobs to do. And we're just itching to get in there and do it again, you know, as Steve, you know, how exciting it is.
Awesome. Yeah.
And I know that the community as a whole, not only in the downtown Liverpool area, but all of the region, Queens and beyond, will want to be part of it because how successful 2014 was and they laid back and did nothing or did very little, I'm sure there will be lots of involvement and innovative ideas of how the community can benefit economically and families and just exposure of having more foreign individuals, families, and our community. And I know the International Student Program are going to be excited with this too, because first of all, they have the language as interpreters. There's a lot of different languages there. And I think they're probably wanting to get involved as well. So, and it's really exciting, and there's not much more I can say about that at this time, but we're certainly looking forward to it.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Councilor Johnson?
Steve, this is, you know, as everybody has said, this is a great event. In your planning, the state determined committee, certainly keep in mind the moving of people and the transportation piece. This links very nicely with other initiatives that's going on within within the county and that whole piece of Queens Care Society and Transportation Initiative can fit with a hand in a glove and pull that together. So don't forget us when you're in that.
Okay.
Councilor Fancy?
Yes, Steve. The thing I like about the most about this is that every time you put on an event and it's successful, it's the credibility that comes along with it. I mean, as you saw with all your things of the music and such as, people realize you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And once you can do it, then it becomes easier to get something because they don't have to worry about it. Will it happen? And you've proven it time and time again that you can do this. And you, with the curling, you've already proven it with Canadian, and you're going to prove it with the world. And I would think that would make it so much easier when you go to make another request that's saying, hey, Liverpool can do this. We've proven it again and again, and these things can happen. Along with that, I've seen some people who, in my own area, have moved into the area, people who've moved in because we have the people who moved into the Meyer for the our privateer hockey and other things because we have it in the area. There's some people I just talked to here in the last couple of weeks because we have things here. They're willing to drive further because we have it here. So, you know, kudos to what you guys are doing over there.
Yeah, well, you know, the community has a great resume over many decades of being strong with events, sort of that small but mighty community, and we just want to help build on that resume and just the people that execute it. So, yeah, and the folks that come. Yeah.
Any other councilors this morning like to comment? Thank you, Steve.
Thanks.